Uranus is mainly known for its name, the brunt of many jokes. No doubt the comments will be full of them. But beyond that, it's actually one of the lesser understood worlds of the solar system that doesn't get anywhere near the attention it actually deserves. Because in many ways, it's actually one of the most mysterious planets in the solar system, hinting at a history and structure very different from any other world, other than possibly Neptune, but not exactly. Uranus is the seventh planet, and it was the first of the planets to be discovered rather than having been known as a planet since time immemorial. At least as far as we know, because Uranus actually is visible to the naked eye under ideal dark sky conditions. And while dim, it does show the same, albeit very slow, movements of a planet that set all the other worlds of the solar system apart from the stars to the ancients. Maybe someone somewhere across the vastness of human history realized that, but it's just not preserved. It was indeed observed, however, that much we know. Hipparchus seems to have seen it and included it in a star catalog in 128 BC, and it was seen very clearly in 1690, multiple times by John Flamsteed, who called it 34 Tauri. Also, the French astronomer Pierre Lemonnier observed it multiple times over a period of decades, but every observation we know of misidentified it as a star, and no one had noticed its very slow movement. In light of that, the credit for the first observation and its discovery as a planet goes to William Herschel on March 13, 1781. The thing is, Herschel initially misidentified it not as a star, but a comet. He finally noticed the movement, at least, but at the very high magnifications he was observing with, and the fact that his telescope was built to 18th century capabilities, it looked nebulous to him, like a comet should, among other observational techniques he employed. The astronomer royal, Neville Maskelyne, was utterly perplexed at Herschel's find. Writing Herschel in a letter from April 23, 1781, he told Herschel that he had observed it and had no idea what to call it because in his telescope he saw no coma or tail, and he noted that it could just as easily be a planet. Herschel held out on his comet theory, however, as a number of other astronomers observing it began to strongly suspect that it was actually a planet. I think one possibility here is that Herschel simply felt that a comet was more likely because they are common, whereas discovering a planet and saying so would be extraordinary. But it was indeed a planet, and Herschel finally gave in 1783, which moved King George III to give him an annual stipend of £200. Not shabby when you account for inflation. But it came with the condition that Herschel had to move to Windsor so the king could look through his telescopes. And indeed, Herschel wanted to name the planet after the king, but this was not of much interest outside of Britain, and it was later agreed upon to be Uranus in keeping with a tradition of naming planets after Greco-Roman deities. The realization of a new planet by the astronomical community had an odd effect, in that it actually dramatically expanded the solar system from our perspective. Before that March night, the solar system was seen as ending at Saturn, but the discovery of Uranus expanded that out to the point of effectively doubling the size of the known solar system, because Uranus is very far out, about twice the distance from the Sun than Saturn. So far, in the years since its discovery, the vast majority of observations of Uranus were from Earth, and only one spacecraft, Voyager 2, in 1986 has ever visited it. And then it was only a flyby. But from what we know, Uranus is flat out enigmatic and strange. The first great mystery is that Uranus literally orbits the Sun on its side, and this leads to weird effects and a huge mystery as to how things came to be this way with that planet. So the first weird part is that Uranus has a ring system, nothing close to as extensive as that of Saturn, but it does have rings. And from our perspective of rotating mostly within the plane of the solar system, Uranus's ring system looks like a coin spinning on a table because the planet is literally knocked over. Its day is just over 17 hours, and its year, or its orbit of the Sun, is about 84 years, which is slow, explaining why it was so hard to pin it down as a planet initially. Why Uranus is on its side, its equator is very close to being at a right angle to its orbital plane, a tilt of 97.77 degrees, is unknown. But the best explanation is that something huge hit it. presumably a large planet about the size of Earth at some point in the history of the solar system. Or a series of hits by minor planets could have done it also in a more gradual manner. But there's a problem. If it really was that active in that area of the outer solar system, then you would expect Neptune to also have been subject to heavy bombardment from planetesimals and show evidence of it. And it does not appear to have been the case. Recent work from 2022 at the Paris Observatory under Melanie Seienfest, linked to the paper in the description below, has revisited this, and there seems to have been another way to force Uranus into this weird juxtaposition. As it turns out, the tilting could also be explained if Uranus once had a rather large satellite that was acting on it and gradually flipped it into this position. We know that moons can migrate. Our own moon is moving out at about 3.8 centimeters per year. And if that migration resonates with certain aspects of how the planet is rotating and how its mass is, strange things can happen. The problem is Uranus seems to no longer have this moon, though it's possible that some situational dynamic of its existing moons might explain it. But if it was a larger moon, where it went or if it still exists is a complete mystery. Another major mystery of Uranus is its internal structure. Uranus is the least massive of the giant planets and comes in at about 14.5 times the mass of Earth. It is classed, along with Neptune, as an ice giant rather than a gas giant like Saturn and Jupiter. The meaning of ice giant is that Uranus has a thick layer of water, methane, and ammonia ices, in parentheses, probably surrounding a rock and metal core. The exact details of this ice layer, though, are not well understood. Based on what can be determined by density and other indicators, the core is smaller in mass than Earth, about half. And the mass of the ice mantle is unknown, but likely to be within 9.3 and 13.5 Earth masses. Above that is an atmosphere of mostly hydrogen and helium, with probably an indistinct transition zone between. Ices, in this sense, is a somewhat misleading way to describe it. It's really a dense fluid, sometimes characterized as a hot ammonia and water ocean, that is also highly electrically conductive. But there are many questions here. What is the transition zone between the core and the ocean like? Is it defined or fuzzy? What happens to methane deep inside that high-pressure zone? Does it break down? If it does break down, the carbon from the methane molecules may be forced into diamonds, which then rain downwards through the ocean. And here is where Uranus gets very alien indeed. There were a series of experiments done at Lawrence Livermore under extremely high pressure that suggest that Uranus may have a layer at the base of the mantle made up of metallic carbon in liquid form that may have something like icebergs floating in it that are entirely made of diamond. There may also be a layer of superionic water where oxygen is forced into a crystalline lattice form with hydrogen moving freely through it. This material has a fair amount of experimental evidence pointing to its existence, but that's just one of several models for the interior of Uranus, and no one is quite sure what actually is correct. Only a dedicated space probe sent to Uranus will shed light on the interior of the planet. And then there is the mystery of Uranus's magnetic field. This is strange. So Voyager 2 found that both Uranus and Neptune feature magnetic fields offset from their rotation to a high degree. In Uranus's case, it's off by 59 degrees, which is the most for any planet. Uranus's magnetic field is also very complex and weird compared to most planets. And part of this is due to Uranus being on its side, meaning it's interacting with the solar wind differently than anywhere else in the solar system. Open questions are how that magnetic field is being generated internally in Uranus, and whether the magnetic field has changed since Voyager 2's flyby. Again, only a new probe will tell, and to do that, it will have to fly directly through the field and make measurements. While internally hot, it's important not to overstate this, Uranus overall is actually the coldest planet in the solar system. Weirdly, even though it's closer to the Sun, it's actually colder than Neptune, with temperatures as low as negative 224 Celsius or negative 372 Fahrenheit measured. No one knows why this is, but it suggests that Uranus simply doesn't have the level of internal heating that Neptune does, Why that is remains unclear. But one idea here is that whatever hit Uranus and knocked it on its side, if that's what happened, managed to dissipate some of Uranus's internal heat, leading to the colder overall environment. But there's more. So Uranus does have weather. It has high winds and sometimes storms that can last a long time. Well, the best explanation for that is internal heating driving it. But since there doesn't appear to be much internal heating, it's a mystery as to how all of that works so dynamically. And then come the moons and rings. The four largest moons, Titania, Oberon, Umbriel, and Ariel, all could be ice shell moons, with liquid water oceans under the ice, due to all four seemingly having the ability to insulate their internal heating. Titania and Oberon specifically could in principle have rocky interiors that interact directly with the liquid water, transferring heat and nutrients into the water, raising the chances for life. The rings also seem to be more dynamic than other ring systems of the solar system. They seem to shift over relatively short timescales and move around, yet remain overall coherent. How that works is also a major mystery. And one final mystery is the question of just where in the solar nebula Uranus originally formed. That's uncertain right now because we've never dropped a probe into it and examined its chemical makeup in greater detail. The good news is that we're probably going to solve at least some of these mysteries, and very likely find new ones, because Uranus is back on the agenda. The 2013 Decadal Survey, which is how NASA sets priorities through consulting researchers, basically came up with three priorities. The first was Europa, with the Europa Clipper mission, which is happening and slated for launch in October. The second was the Mars Sample Return mission, in which some samples were taken by the Perseverance rover that could be collected up. But recent budgetary concerns threaten the sample return mission, or at least will delay it significantly. Last was Uranus, which a mission there did not happen that decade. Fast forward to last year, the 2023 Decadal Survey, which Uranus features again as a top priority. It's still preliminary, but the idea is a flagship mission to Uranus to enter orbit and study it long term, rather than just another flyby. And ideally, we'll drop a probe into the planet's interior. In principle, a mission could launch as early as 2031, for an arrival at Uranus in 2043. But none of this is funded yet, and NASA currently is facing budget problems. So it's anyone's guess, really, when we will get a new close look at Uranus. But one thing is clear, it's one strange planet, unlike any of the others in the solar system. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently eyeing Neptune suspiciously. It's up next in the series, but it's weird for both its similarities to Uranus, but also its dramatic differences. You'd think these planets would be something like twins, but if that's the case, Neptune is the evil twin, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.